23 and Mark 15. Luke 23 and Mark 15. I'm going to ask you to study with me just a little bit this morning and go through a few scriptures. Luke 23, Mark chapter 15. Good music this morning. Thanks to Brother Harry and all those that worked so hard. Miss Moran there and the Bullings, thanks so much for that. Luke 23 and Mark chapter 15. In order to get through everything I want to show you this morning, to get to the end of the whole matter, if you would, and come away with something, we're going to look at a few scriptures. Look at Luke chapter 23. I'll comment briefly as we move our way through. Luke 23, Mark chapter 15. In Luke chapter 23, Jesus is heading up to Mount Calvary, Golgotha. He is on his way up, and they've, if you would, laid his cross on a man named Simon. Look at Luke 23, verse 26, on his way to the cross. And as they led him away, they laid a hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country. And on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people. And notice what God puts in his Bible. Three words. And of who? Women. God specifically said there's a great company of people following, but there's also included in that company that's following, and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, look what he says. He addresses them as daughters of Jerusalem. Daughters. When Jesus looked at those women, he saw them as daughters. He looked at those women in the great company following, he looked at those women and he called them daughters. Brethren, I don't know about you, but a father has a great deal of respect and dignity for his daughter. A great, if you would, a creator here, the creator named Jesus, didn't look at them as women like a man would look at them. Are you listening to me? Don't lower Jesus. Yes, he was all man, but he's the creator of mankind. And don't lower him down in our minds, ladies, and don't lower him down to think of him as a mere man. He called them daughters with all dignity and all respect, if you would. And these women were following him, if you would, watching as he was heading for his, if you would, crucifixion. Hold your place in Luke 23 and look at Mark chapter 15. Stay right with me. By the way, I just want to get this out as quickly as I possibly can. Hollywood has torn this Bible apart. I just need to get that out just for a moment, because if I don't know what kind of movies they've made and all that stuff. I just remember way back. In my earlier years, they had something out called Jesus Christ Superstar. Now, wait a minute. That wasn't biblical. That was not biblical. That brought Jesus down to being a mere man. It's bad. It's terrible. And by the way, look up here now. Stay with me. If you ladies are here, I wish these guys would just, they're just agreeing with me on it. That's all. They'll settle down a little bit. We'll get to something that'll calm them right down. Amen. But the idea that Jesus had any type of impure thoughts with any woman on this earth is totally ridiculous. He said daughters. Daughters. And look, if you would, not just going up to the cross, if you would, but if you would, look at Mark chapter 15. And notice, if you would, that while he was there, look at verse 39. Now he's hanging on that cross. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. So there he is on the cross giving up the ghost. And look at verse 40. There were also, say it, women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the Less and of Joseph and Salome, who also when he was in Galilee followed him and ministered unto him. And many others, say it, women, which came up with him unto Jerusalem. Not only did they watch as he went up, but they were there looking afar off as he was crucified. Look at Luke chapter 23 again. You were holding your place there. In Luke chapter 23, notice, if you would, after he had given up the ghost, look at verse 55. Luke 23, verse 55. Thanks for turning there. The Bible says this, and the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre, that gravesite, and how his body was laid. May I say this? Those women stuck with him. Those women were committed. They were daughters. Please, don't let anything else enter into your mind. There was total dignity. There was total trust. There was total respect, if you would. They believed in him, in verse 56, and they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. But guess who was there early the morning of the next day? Look at chapter 24 and look at verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, after that Sabbath day of rest, they came unto the sepulcher, that gravesite, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with it. Who was there? It was those devout women, if you would, that ministered to Jesus. And who was it in verse 10? Look at 24:10. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James. And who? Other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. My statement is this: Jesus Christ evidently was able to communicate to these women, and these women felt comfortable around the Lord Jesus Christ, and definitely they were comforted, but there was a commitment there. I'm telling you, ladies, this morning, don't look at Jesus, although he was man. He came in the form of a man. He came and put himself in flesh, but he was God. Obviously, I don't know exactly how the mind of a woman thinks. And I'm not saying that in a derogatory way. But if a man's ever hurt you, it wasn't Jesus. Don't put him in that category. He just happened to have on a human flesh body as a man. But he was a perfect man. You can trust him, ladies, and he highly respects you. Watch what happens over in Luke chapter 8. Stay with me. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Watch what happens here in Luke chapter 8. Thanks for turning there. In Luke chapter 8, sometimes, if you would, in church, in Christianity, we highlight the 12, the ones that went out to preach, and there's nothing wrong with that. But Luke chapter 8, look at verse 1. And it came to pass afterwards that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. Comma. Who else was with him? And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalena, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and what? Many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. Brethren, it wasn't just the 12 out there preaching and supporting Jesus Christ. It was this company, if you would, this band, if you would, and the women were there who had been healed and, if you would, taken care of. My point is this, brethren, those women, Jesus looked upon them and he put them in his Bible. It wasn't just the 12 out preaching. It was the women that were needed. It was the women that were necessary. It was the women that were valuable. It was the women that were important. Say, man, what happened to the old man thing? It's Mother's Day. And as the way I see this in here, those women must have been important too. Look at Luke chapter 7. Just go back just a little bit. And watch what happens in Luke chapter 7. One chapter back, there's a Pharisee. And Jesus is sitting in the Pharisee's house. And Jesus sits down to meet with the Pharisee, and this woman walks in. I mean, right in front of everybody, this woman breaks open this alabaster box of ointment, and she begins with her hair to wipe his feet and to minister to the Lord Jesus Christ. Right in front of everybody. And inside, this Pharisee starts to think, Jesus, if he knew who this woman was. And you know what that Pharisee said in his mind? She's a sinner. If he was actually the prophet and knew who this woman was and what she had done, Jesus wouldn't let this woman even touch him. Jesus knew exactly who that woman was. Is that right? Yes or no? And he also knew what that Pharisee was thinking. And so he says to that Pharisee, verse 44. Verse 44 of Luke 7. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Simon was the Pharisee. He looks at Simon and says, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, Simon. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. You know what he's doing in front of Simon, that Pharisee? He's lifting up this works that this woman is doing, this adoration, if you would, that she's demonstrating back to Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right? Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil, that did not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, Hey Simon, hey Pharisee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. And then she said this, For she loved, past tense, much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. You know what he says, Simon? This woman used to love much in this world, but her sins, which are many, yes, she's a sinner, but her sins are forgiven, Simon, and that's why she's coming and doing what she's doing to me here. In verse 48, he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. He lifts up that woman and her works in front of that Pharisee. I'm telling you, ladies, God respects your works. God gives you dignity for all that you do. All the tears you cry, all the little things you do that you don't think anybody notices, the Lord Jesus Christ notices. Would you agree with that statement? Absolutely. Look over into Luke chapter 8 there. In Luke chapter 8, you see a woman who's had a medical challenge for 12 years. And this medical infirmity that she has going on in her body, she goes to a physician's, and many physicians, and the Bible says in another chapter that they put her through, they put her through a great deal of suffering trying to cure her, and for 12 years she spends everything she has, and the problem grows worse. And so she decides, if I could just get to Jesus and touch his garment, then I'll be whole. And so in a great multitude of people, she pushes her way evidently up to where she gets to Jesus, and by faith she's believing, if I can just touch his garment, I can be made whole. And she reaches out and touches the hem of his garment, and she's healed. And Jesus knew it. Nobody else knew it, but Jesus knew it. And in that great throng of people, he looks around in verse 45 of Luke chapter 8, and Jesus said, who touched me? The apostles didn't get it. They thought, wow, you've been pressed upon, you've been in the multitude, and you're saying, who touched me? In verse 46, Jesus said, somebody hath touched me. For I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. Verse 47, and then when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came how? Trembling, falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him. That took some courage. And how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, look what he calls her, say it. Say it again, what? Ladies, you ought to go out of here with that name, that phrase, that title on your mind, because you're a daughter. With all respect and all dignity and all love, what wouldn't a father do for a daughter? You say, wait a minute, this was Jesus. He was the creator of the universe. That's who it is. He said unto her, daughter. Look what he says in front of everybody there. Magnifies what she's done now. Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. You know what he said? Stop trembling. It's all right. You didn't do anything wrong. You thought if you could touch me by faith, that I would be touched with the feelings of your infirmity, and then in turn I would touch you, and that's what happened. And by the way, there's still a high priest in heaven that can still be touched, ladies. Honestly, I'm going to make this statement. You men aren't going to like this. We men don't always understand. Some lady ought to wave her hanky just a little bit. We men do not always understand, but Jesus always understands. I mean, I'm a pastor, and I've talked to, literally, over the years, probably hundreds and thousands of ladies, and there are just times where I just say, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to help. Better that I go to prayer to the one who can help you, because you're his daughter. And he knows what's inside and how you're made, and emotionally how you're made, and what you carry and what you need. And I'm just a human. But I know he can still be touched. I'm making this statement. Ladies, he's not untouchable. Don't think of him as a mere man. He's God. He just happened to put on a robe of flesh. Amen. But that flesh did never, ever, 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 ever control him. He was always in control of it. So don't think him as a mere man. Don't lower him down too much. He can still be touched with what you have that needs to be touched. If you would look a little further, do you see how Jesus is lifting up what these ladies have done, man? Look at Matthew chapter 15. By the way, I'm enjoying this, aren't you? Matthew chapter 15. It's Mother's Day. Let's lift up the ladies. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Let me show you a woman who's a great theologian. In fact, she's ahead of many of the men. In fact, I got to tell you this. She understands something that even the apostles don't yet understand. Matthew chapter 15. And by the way, I've run into women that know the Bible better than I do. I'm just glad when they just kind of sit there and go, well, whatever you say, Pastor. And I'm thinking, they know the book probably better than I do. Comforting me. Comforting the feeble-minded, amen? Nothing wrong with a woman knowing the Bible. Come on, nothing wrong with teaching our young ladies the book, amen? Come on, that's right. Push the men along a little bit. Look at Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Verse 22, and behold, a woman of, mark it down, Canaan. She was not an Israelite. She was not a Hebrew woman. Came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord. This is a key phrase. Thou son of David. Theologically, she knew who he was. That was a statement that only someone that understood from the Hebrew would understand. She said, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. For she crieth after us. But he answered and said, look what he says to this woman who's a Canaanite. I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know what he said? I'm not here to minister to you right now. I'm here to minister to the Israelites. Is that what he said? She didn't stop. Then came she and did what? Worshipped him. She didn't get offended. She understood that. Saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread, Israelite, and cast it to the dogs, non-Israelite. And she said, what? Truth, Lord. She didn't get offended. She said, that's true. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And when she said that, verse 28, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, right in front of everybody, great is thy what? Say it. Faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. That woman had some great understanding because God had given her that understanding. And she had great faith and she was persistent and came to Jesus and Jesus answered what she asked for. Is that right? I'm telling you, God respects women. Christianity doesn't have to worry about equal rights. All you got to do is read the book. And we do what Jesus did. Is that right? Come on, is that right? The idea is, and by the way, there's so many other things we could go to in the Bible. I've just picked out some here that when Jesus was on this earth, his interaction with women, and by the way, men, I include myself, we could learn something here. Look at John chapter 11 and Mark 14. John chapter 11 and Mark 14. Ladies, are we enjoying this? John chapter 11 and Mark chapter 14. Thanks for turning there. John chapter 11 and Mark chapter 14. I just want to show you in kind of coming into the concluding of the message, I want to show you here right at the end, three Marys. Just real quick, three Marys. As you say, you go out and you say, what was that message all about? It was God's respect for his daughters. And if you would, his encouraging and his comforting. John chapter 11 and also Mark chapter 14. And we'll just end by studying very quickly three Marys. Very special people in, if you would, while Jesus was on the face of the earth. Look at John chapter 11, and thanks for staying right with me. Look at verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of who? Everybody say it. Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. I want you to focus in just very briefly there on that Mary. Notice what she did. She's going to anoint the Lord with the ointment and wiped his feet. Look at John chapter 12. Turn one chapter over. You're holding your place still in Mark chapter 14. And look at John chapter 12 and notice, if you would, verse 3. Verse 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then sent one of his disciples, and by the way, this wasn't the only disciple that agreed with this if you read the scripture. Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence? Always finding something wrong with somebody else is trying to do right. Is that right? Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear that was put therein. Then said Jesus, what's the next three words? You men say it. Let her alone. Let her alone. Hey, Simon. Hey, you're going to see the rest of the disciples. Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me ye have not always. Same context. Look at Mark chapter 14. You're doing well. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Same context. They're in Bethany, which is where they were at in Bethany. Didn't say they were at Mary's and Martha's house. We get a little bit better understanding. Look at Mark chapter 14. Notice verse 3. Being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman, verse 3, having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. She breaks that box and pours it on his head. And there were some, wasn't just Judas, that had indignation within themselves. They didn't say it out loud, but you got to understand, when you think it, Jesus understands what's being thought. And said, why was this waste of this ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And notice what happens after they think that within themselves. Look what they do. They do what? They murmured against her. And Jesus said, say it again, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always. That's what he said back there in John 12. And whenever you will, whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforetime to anoint my body to the burying. Look at verse 9. Don't miss this. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the what? Whole world. This also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. I'd say that's endorsement. I'd say that's pretty good credibility. And by the way, we're still talking about it. Years and years later. And by the way, if he said it's going to be talked about throughout the whole world, wherever this gospel is going to be preached, I just believe it's so. I've not been out the whole world. I've not heard it in all the different languages. Wouldn't surprise me if somewhere else in this world, in a different language, someone's mentioning what she did. Because God said, I'm not going to let that, what she hath done me, against my burial. And even though they criticize her and murmured against her, may I say something to you? There are the good works of the woman. Jesus looks at what the man does, but he also looks at what the woman does. Ladies, when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, some of you ladies are going to put us men to shame. And we're for you. And we thank you. I say publicly as pastor of this church for these many years, thank you, ladies. Thank you, moms. Thank you, women, for setting an example. I mean that. The older I get, the more I appreciate godly Christian women. They say, I haven't always done right. Neither did Mary Magdalene. But God honored that Mary. Look at John chapter 20. Stay right with me. John chapter 20. We all still okay, everybody? John chapter 20. Not time to leave yet. Roast is not burned. We'll get out of here in time. John chapter 20. You see, that woman, Mary, of Mary and Martha, the one that sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word, the one that had that adoration, if you would, came in front of everybody, performed a good work that would never, ever be forgotten, according to what the Bible says. In John chapter 20, look at this next Mary real quick. Two Marys and we're done. Verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark. She sees the grave and she sees that stone that's been taken away. She runs over to get Simon Peter, comes back again. Look at verse 11. Mary stood without the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked. She looked right into that former grave site. Two angels were sitting in there. They say, do you believe all this? I believe it. How about you? And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith them, because they have taken away my Lord. and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be a gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus says one word to her, and everything changes. Jesus says her name. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. You say, how did God honor this Mary Magdalene? That's the first person he had appeared to. That's quite an honor. He said of that woman, if you would, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, he said, for a memorial to her, this is going to be spoken about in the whole world. And what an honor to be the first one to see the resurrected Savior. And he showed himself to a woman out of whom he had cast seven devils, the Bible says. Don't tell me God doesn't respect his daughters. Don't tell me God doesn't endorse and, if you would, comfort his daughters. Don't tell me God's not committed to his daughters. If you're a Christian lady, if you're a Christian woman, if you're a Christian sister, you ought to be glad this morning you're a Christian. Oh, you say, but being a Christian woman sometimes is difficult. But it's more difficult not being a Christian woman. One more Mary. You already know who, don't you? You have to know. Look at John 19. You have to know. You must know. How can we have Mother's Day and not mention that other Mary that Jesus looked upon as his earthly mother? Oh, by the way, let's not lift her up as high as others would. Let's keep it biblical, amen? John chapter 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, who? His mother. Rightfully so, would you agree? And by the way, she wasn't alone. And his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple standing by whom he loved, that was John, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. Nothing else needed to be said. He didn't say, Take care of her. Although John understood. And isn't that something that Jesus chose John? The one that was always so close to Jesus and leaned upon him. And from that hour, the disciple took her unto his own home. I want to remind you about a scripture earlier on. It says this, An angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. This is an angelic being saying to Mary, who was going to give birth to Jesus in the flesh, if you would, that the Holy Spirit was going to allow Mary to give birth, if you would, to this Savior that's going to come and die. It was a sacrificial lamb being born. Would you agree with that? Hail, thou art highly favored. God said through that angelic being, Mary, you're highly favored. And even at the cross, just before he was ready to give up the ghost, Jesus still highly favored his mother. Mary, fear not, he said, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. We're not taking this as far as others would take it, but I would suggest this, just as Jesus highly favored his mom, so should we. That's why we believe and still preach in our church that women ought to be respected, cherished, and treated with purity. I mean, we could read over and over and more. It looks like our Lord Jesus Christ communicated and comforted and made them comfortable around him. It looks like to me these women trusted him. It looks like to me these women were, if you would, endeared toward him, but not in a way that you would think, as far as they showed affection, but they did it, if you would, with purity in their minds. And he put them at ease, if you would, and he got them to the place where they were comfortable around him. It looks like to me these women didn't feel threatened. In fact, the only women that I see that, while Jesus was on the earth, that felt threatened was those that didn't believe in him, like Herodias. Looks like the women that were around and ministering unto the their substance and working towards getting the word of God out and taking care of the situations that were coming up. Looks like they felt comfortable and non-threatened, and they trusted him. And they stuck with him all the way to the end, even after he was on the cross and buried and rose again from the dead. And after he ascended, you'll see these women carried over into the New Testament church age. Hey, happy Mother's Day. Daughter, not my daughter, but daughter of God. What a high title. What a wonderful title. You say, well, you don't understand that concept of daughter. You see, I had this situation in my life. Wait a minute. Daughter of God. Don't bring God down in your mind to what a man might have done. Don't do that. Keep him up above men. Oh yeah, he was in human flesh in the form of a man, but he was God. And he still is God. And his thoughts are way above man's thoughts. His respect and the dignity he gives to women, way above the way we men sometimes treat women. Come on. You can go to him in prayer, and you don't have to worry about being abused. You don't have to worry about being condemned. You don't have to have a low esteem with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You say, well, how can he understand me? He made you. They brought that woman taken in immorality. They all was going to watch to see if he would stone her too. They even brought up the Old Testament law. There she was standing there. The Bible said he stooped down and wrote something on the ground. I always wondered what he was writing. I know this, it was Scripture. I know he was writing Scripture. You say, how do you know that? I know by faith he was writing Scripture. He always was writing Scripture. Anything he said was Scripture. Come on, is that right? There he was writing. I think I know what he wrote, but it doesn't matter. Probably something in Deuteronomy, but he just probably wrote it down there. And they were watching what he was going to do to this woman. And he kind of looked around at him. He said, well, he that without sin cast the first stone. Started writing again. I wonder if they read what he wrote. I think so. Because they all started leaving. And after they were all gone, there was that woman standing there. He didn't condemn her. He said, where are thine accusers? You know what he did? He protected her. Protected her from the Pharisees. Where are thine accusers? And then he said some wonderful words to her. He told her that he didn't condemn her. He told her not to sin anymore and to go in peace. Don't you think she walked out? Who was that man? Oh, she must have known. That's who we have. Daughter, I wish I could explain him more, but one of these days you'll see him face to face. I just hope the Holy Spirit today would comfort some lady in here and would challenge we men to look upon him with a highly favorable attitude. they are the daughters of God. Oh, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, ma'am, you could become a daughter today. A daughter of God today. How do you do that? Trust Jesus Christ. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins. Over and over in the Bible, He's done that. In fact, we've read scriptures. Look at that woman over there. The Pharisee said, don't you know she's a sinner? And she's touching you. He forgave her sins that day. And He'll forgive whatever sins you have, whether you're a man or a woman. And you could become a daughter or a son of God today. You young ladies in here, you're already saved. Don't look too closely at the world. Don't look too closely out there and say, oh, I've got to stay in church. You're safe. You're protected. You say, but different things happen. But you have that protection because you're a daughter of God. Or you say, I wish I was like that. Oh, no, you have so much more. Being a daughter of God. You don't have to ever worry about whether someone appreciates your works and your efforts. Lord Jesus does. And one of these days, He'll reward you. You say, how do you know that? The widow's mites. The widow's mites. You know what He did? All those men were walking by, showing off and casting in. And He said to His disciples, see that widow? She has done more than they all. Don't you think that? Their ears perked up. Look what Jesus was saying. That woman has done more, that widow woman. Yeah, you understand. She's cast in more than they have. They cast in a little bit of what she had, or what they had, but she put in everything she had. And I can see that. Don't worry, ladies. God knows what you can. God knows your tears. God knows your emotions. God knows your heartache. God knows your prayers. God knows your work. God knows all that. And one of these days, He'll reward you openly. Just a little longer to go. Won't be long. Just a little longer. Just a few more tears. And then one of these days, they'll all be wiped away. Just a little more. Love on Him today. Tell Him you care about Him. Show your affection to our Lord and Savior openly. And maybe we men can learn a little bit from this too. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Some of us in here today just need to tell Him we love Him. We need to worship Him. Some are already coming. If you're a woman or a man or whatever, if you'd like to use the altar this morning, or you just want to pray for your mother, you want to pray for yourself or your family, you're more than welcome to do so. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, please. If you're moving, that's okay, as far as you're coming forward. We'd like to ask this, if there's someone in here, or a few of y'all that's not yet trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe somebody invited you to church because it's Mother's Day and you came. And we're glad that you're here. Thank you for coming. Maybe out of respect for someone you came, but while you're here, maybe the Holy Spirit of God has been dealing with your heart. And you came to be courteous to someone that's invited you, but while you're here, actually what has happened is the Lord is doing something else inside of you right now as we speak. It might be what we would call conviction. Maybe your heart inside is breaking a little bit. Maybe today is the day that Jesus Christ would ask you to call upon Him and ask Him to forgive your sins. Or maybe you're already a Christian and God just brought you here to begin the restoration process to bring you back in closer again. And right now there's just something inside of you that's working on you. That's the Holy Spirit of God. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, please, I wonder if in here this morning you'd say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure of my salvation. Or if you like, maybe today the need is restoration. And I'll privately, quietly pray for you. But sometimes an uplifted hand, it doesn't hurt to have one more person pray for you. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, if that's you, would you slip up your hand and say, pray for me? Yes, someone else. Good. Good. You may put him down. In just a moment, we're going to stand. I will pray for you. If you'd like some help, someone to pray with you, or if you'd like to come to an altar, or if you know someone, maybe fits in that category, you'd like to pray for them, we're going to open the altar up. This little area up front of the church. If you need baptism, salvation, whatever your need is, we'd like to invite you. If you just want to come and worship Him. Father, please. Minister to these people in a way that no man can. Only the way you can. We pray for those in need of salvation, restoration, comfort, encouragement. And we ask you to please accept our simple efforts to worship you in spirit and truth. Let's all stand to our feet, please. Thank you. The instrument's going to play. If you'd like to use an old-fashioned altar this morning for salvation, somebody wants to help you, or restoration, or you want to pray for someone, you know, come right now. And I realize it's Mother's Day and we're going to dismiss it, but please, let's open up the altar today. If you just want to tell the Lord you love Him, you're more than welcome to do that. Our heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're in the middle of the street.